from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that believes in human rights and that Black Lives Matter. And the podcast is trying to improve and to make people feel seen and welcome. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast. So it's going to be honest with you. I'm sitting here in a pair of shorts, and one half of my shorts, or a half of a short, because it's shorts, right? So one is a short, one half is a short, because they say a pair of shorts. So I'm a half shortest a lot of things. Oh boy. Yeah, but I was going to say I was carrying something damp. So part of my hip side of one short, that's why half of my short is short, is a little bit wet. And, you know, I'm here to, I don't know, but now I'm stuck in that idea of being short, half short, which is true. But I won't be short of words or meanders or senseless banter, because it's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. And these are a few ways we're able to bring you this podcast for free on a regular basis. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to this show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, If the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo. Modern management made simple. Hey, everybody. It's Scooter here. This is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the upbeat and fast part of the show where I thank the people who supported the sponsors. So I get to bring you this podcast twice a week. I wanted to thank Sebastian and Deborah, who just tagged Celestial Seasonings this past week and tagged me on social media, getting their Sleepy Time tees on. Thank you so much for that. If you support a sponsor, if you support Celestial Seasonings, Daily Harvest, True Botanicals, Sun Soil, especially our newest sponsors, support them. Let them know that their sponsorship is important to you. Tag them, tag me in a social media post. I can try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, like Deborah and Sebastian. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need, supporting the Black members of our community, supporting change, internal and external change. Some of those resources will be in the show notes, and I'm here to listen and learn more. So if you have other resources, please just send them my way. And the last part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I'm supporting right now, and it's kind of the theme of this replay of this older episode, is our fundraiser for the Water Wheel Foundation and other community organizations. You could go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/waterwheel to find out more, and then support Water Wheel or support another organization and share with me, tag the organization, tag me on social media. As a part of this, just raising money as a part of a fundraiser. We'll make it fun. I promise to make it fun if we get 500 people to tag an organization and tag me on social media. That's at sleepwithmepodcast.com/waterwheel. And what do you say we get on with the show? Oh, Mystery Bard. A lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song. Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through. Listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget, if you feel like the podcast is sped up, make sure you're playing it at 1x speed or slower. I know some people slow it down even more. And if it feels distorted, make sure it doesn't. You don't have any settings like vocal boost or anything like that turned on. And speaking of slowing it down, it's time to slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. So it could be thoughts you're thinking about, you know, thoughts, things on your mind, feelings, like any emotions coming up for you, physical sensations. It could be anything, you know, a lot of different stuff. It's going, you know, that's your stuff. Holy cow, it's always there. Yeah, and sometimes it's, you know, stuffed up in there. So whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. And the way I'm going to do it is I got this nice, safe place all picked out. It's all set aside for you. You can pick out your part of the safe place. And you don't even have to pick it out, actually. You could just lie there and be like, yeah, I'm somewhere over there. Can you imagine that? That could be a new kind of sleepy movers. Now, just hear me out. Like, it's probably the wrong time to talk about this. So I'll try to come back to it. Sleepy movers, because I better explain what the podcast is to the newest listeners. Welcome. What I'm also going to do, in addition to taking this safe place and letting you have me arrange it for you, is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. Oh, boy. I'll be off topic, and then I'll be back on topic, and then I'll be off topic again. Pointless meanders, superfluous dialogue, extra words, sleepy moves. I got the only moves I got are sleepy. See, all those moves, Scooch, so you've been working on your moves, huh? Oh boy, have I. Oh yeah, Scooch's got moves, the moves that put you to sleep. And I said, well, those moves weren't intended to put anybody to sleep. Those were supposed to be my, you know, if I had my fancy moves, my hot moves, my smooth moves. None of those put you to sleep, too. Oh, boy. Pointless meanders. All to take your mind off of stuff and be here, actually, to keep you company while you fall asleep. Now, if you're new, a couple of things to know. One, I'm glad you're here. Two is this podcast normally takes two or three tries to get used to. A recent reviewer said somewhere between one and four times. Give it one or four tries. And the reason for that, one is, like, if you're listening to a sleep podcast, you're probably naturally skeptical and doubtful about it. You say, what is this you're getting me into here? Or what are you really up to? So there's that, which is totally normal. Like, if you're doubtful or skeptical, I'm a skeptic most of the time, except when I'm that other thing, gullible. Most of the time I'm gullible. But the rest of the time I'm skeptical because I'm so gullible. Talk about a paradox. I've been working my whole life to try to get out of that. Maybe today's the day. I say, you know what, I'm going to be open-minded. But with, you know, limits, I guess that's what I'm striving for. So there's a problem solved. I mean, maybe, but you're here. I'm here to help you fall asleep. So if you're doubtful or you're not sure, this podcast is very different than everything out there. So give it a few tries and just see how it goes. I will tell you this, what was I going to tell you? I forgot. So if you're new, a couple of things to know, other than this podcast is strange. One, this is a podcast you don't really listen to. You kind of barely listen. And you kind of do that by just kind of saying, okay, I'm going to pay attention here for a few minutes and see how it goes. Well, he's kind of not talking about anything. Maybe I don't have to pay. So you kind of let it bounce off your ears or let me kind of go out of focus. Just kind of barely listen, kind of like this moving sleep company I'm coming up with next. So there's that. So don't, this is a podcast, the one podcast you don't listen to. The other thing is, this is a sleep podcast, but believe it or not, it's more here to be here while you fall asleep and to take your mind off of stuff. And my job is to walk at your side and kind of distract you while you fall asleep or while you drift off. I guess another part of my job is to ease you into bedtime, which kind of segues nicely into the other thing that new listeners can find a little bit off-putting, I guess would be one way to say it, is the structure of the show. Show starts off with a greeting, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, because I'm so happy that all of you are here, and I want you to feel acknowledged and seen, and know that your sleep is important to me. Then we go into business, and the business is what enables us to bring you the podcast for free, so that's cool. And then after the business, around 6 or 8 minutes into the show, we go into the intro, and that's where I ease you into bedtime. And this could throw some people off, because the intro is around, it goes from around minute 6 or 8 to around minute 20 or 22-ish. And I say, when I say ish, I mean a pretty, you know, I mean, I always shoot for like to shut the recorder off at like 18 minutes. But you never know what will happen, you know, where my meanders will take us. Nowhere, I mean, mostly, but on a journey to nowhere. So sorry, I went off to, like, so the intro, the whole idea of the intro is it's like too, really long. So initially you say, what do you mean the intro is like 18 minutes long? It doesn't really make any sense. And I'd say exactamundo, as Stefan says. But really what the intro, the purpose the intro serves is, I'm laughing just because my words were out of order there. And if you say, if my words were a machine, it'd always say out of order. You'd say, is that out of order sign because your words don't work? Your word machine doesn't work? No, it's just a heads up that any words coming out of my word machine will be out of order. So the intro is so long and meandering. The show has an intro to greet you and to get, kind of let new listeners know what's coming up and what to expect. It also kind of gives you an overview of what the show will be like overall. But also for regular listeners, the regular listeners, believe it or not, 98% of regular listeners listen to the intro. Or fall asleep as the intro goes on, because it's part of their bedtime routine. It's part of their wind down. Because if you're listening to this show, you've probably faced some kind of sleep issue before. And for most of us, it hasn't been an easy thing to fix. And we've tried the easy stuff or the magic stuff or, you know, the stuff that you pay money for. And none of that really has worked well, or at least hasn't worked instantly. Anything that's been part of a slow and steady thing usually works better. And so the intro is kind of that in a microcosm. It's a slow and steady journey into bedtime. It's a slow wind down. So some listeners, if you become a regular listener, some listeners start it before they get into bed as they're getting ready for bed. Either on their sleep phones or their headphones, or there's just their phone in their pocket or their smart speaker. And they, you don't even have to be in the same room as me to, you know, not listen to me. That's how convenient this podcast is. You could say, well, I can almost hear Scoots down the hall. And you know, just barely hear him over brushing my teeth and washing my face, doing my skincare routine. And then I'm going to bomb my elbows, kiss my shoulders, maybe, you know, give my biceps a little pecky poo. And I can almost hear him before that smooching, you know, between the smooches on my biceps. So then some listeners start the podcast as they get into bed and start their wind down routine or their bedtime routine. And so the intro just kind of eases you into bedtime. Then after the intro will be business. That's just kind of podcast structure. Then there's a story. Tonight it'll be our first episode of our new episodically modular serial story, Otter Things. That's OTTERTHINGS. So that'll be fun. And it's going to be a nice story about otters and other, creatures that live together in a swamp. To talk about bedtime material. And then there'll be some thank yous in, at the end of the show to say goodnight. So that's the structure of the show. Those are the kind of things to know. But yeah, to come back to that image of like, the idea of the show is like, what if there was a moving service? This would be the moving service I would offer. So hear me out. Now, we would have to have a magic user on staff, you know, or some powerful, powerful stuff, because you say, okay, so tell me about this sleepy movers. They say, okay, well, one, we're licensed and bonded, you know, totally double licensed, double bonded, triple insured. So don't worry about that. You know, we got all the accreditations. We even got an accreditation from the Roy G. Biv Institute, because Scoot invented that anyway. That's more for holiday lights to make sure they follow the Roy G. Biv protocol. Anyways, so yeah, it's a moving service where you go to sleep and we move your stuff while you're sleeping. And you might say, including me? And we say, that is an offer in our package that, yeah, we'll move you and your bed. Totally, don't worry. We have all the technology to make it 100% totally, you know, just totally dreamy and comfortable. And yeah, we do have a hyperbolic thing. So it's like, if you're going across the country, you know, totally, we could, you know, we could, you could sleep for a few days if you like. Some people do it. That's just a bonus. They say, wow, I slept for a week too. And I moved, and I woke up, and everything was moved. And it's more, you know, a lot of people think it's a gimmick, but, the one thing we're known for is arranging stuff while you sleep. Now, we work out a plan ahead of time, but we've also figured out a way to basically communicate with you while you're sleeping to move your furniture and lamps and stuff around. And it kind of goes like that. You just say, no, over there. That's crooked, please. Okay, perfect. Okay. No. Now, let me see how that looks over there. Okay, turn it to the left. Okay, back to the right a little. Oh, boy, that's good. Okay, now just fix the lampshade. Now fix a little bit more. Okay, great. Okay, wait. No, turn it back a little bit. Okay, good. Okay, now. No, wait, okay, push it back 1 inch, oh, no, now 4, okay, good. All right, now over there, I want that vase moved over,
So that's kind of how it goes, and believe it or not, it actually works. Now, again, we have a magic user on staff,
and, you know, we have lasers, a lot of it's laser-based, and, you know, like technologies from alternative universes that we've acquired and multiverses, well, transverse plane. We do a lot of the moving on the transverse plane. But you're going to be sleeping through all that anyway. And yeah, just go, And believe it or not, then it's stress-free because you don't even have to think. When you wake up, you say, okay, that's pretty much how I wanted it. And if you say, well, I'd like to move that back a little, you say, okay, we'll do it for you. Or you could go back to sleep and we'll do it. And it's taken some adoption, you know, to get it on board. You know, we can't tell anybody that we have a magic user anymore, or, you know, only on this podcast, but other, you know, our main marketing. Also, it's an imaginary service at this time. So that's when it's really working good, is when you imagine it. You say, oh boy. Yep. Oh boy. Yep. No. Okay. No, I want to put you put them. You're gonna put all my socks in the drawer. Great. Yeah. No. I like the ones. The tube socks go with my tube tops. Yep. Mm-hmm. And my Hanson DVDs, because I like to say tube top, top top tube top. Yeah. I know that's not what that song is, but I always used to sing it that way when I had a tube top on and tube socks. Okay, good job. Thanks. And you can even tip us while you're asleep, and then you can recheck it when you're awake. You say, okay, well, 22% is, I'm going to lower it to 20, but you did a good job. So that's one of the services we're offering now. We're really happy and proud to be doing it in my imagination and possibly yours. But I think one day it'll take off. I mean, once we get the magic user down, and, you know, the transporting of you in your bed and all that part,
and the subconscious communication or effective subliminal communication. I don't know if that's what it is. Because it's kind of like you're actively participating. So we're working on it. I mean, not really. I always just imagine. I say, well, hopefully my imagination will do the hard work, iron out all those things. And then years later, I'll say to my imagination, so how's the plan for that moving? Oh, I haven't worked on it. Okay, well, I'll imagine you did. And you say, agreed, good work. So that's another thing to expect during the show, a pointless meander like that. The last thing I want to tell you is the reason I make the show. One is because I've been there and I know how it feels in the deep, dark night, tossing and turning and having trouble getting to sleep. So that's one thing. And then the second thing is I know you deserve a good night's sleep in a place of respite, a safe place where you can lie down and relax without the rigmarole of having to go to bed. And, you know, the non-fun part. Now, I can't promise to make bedtime fun. I can only promise to make it, not bad. You say, well, it's like not as bad as like when Scoots is there. You know, going to bed's like, it's like that thing, you know, not bad. So, that's why I make this show. You do deserve some rest. In the world, your world and our world will be a better place when you're rested. So if you're new, please give the show a few tries. It's free, so just see how it goes. And if it works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. But I'm glad you're here. I really work hard. I really yearn and strive, and I really want to help you fall asleep. So thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to bring you this podcast for free. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener, Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away because it's just there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show or you decide to put out way, way less episodes or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taken being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. It'll be cool. Like I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the first episode. Not important, though, if you're hearing this after the second or the third or the fourth episode somewhere in the future. But this just happens to be our first episode of our new episodically modular, but also with some more seriality. But still, you'll be able to listen to it in any order, because they take so much time at the beginning to catch you up. It's part of me tucking you in is making sure you know where you are. You're here with Sleep With Me in a safe place. which is where the story is. But in this situation, you don't need to be caught up because the main character is just going to introduce everything in, you know, start, the story begins, I think. And this story will only feel never-ending, hardy har har, but ideally, even this intro, or usually my recaps of most series at the beginning kind of can feel that way. Importantly, because I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff. So this new series is called Otter, O-T-T-E-R. Who doesn't love an otter? Maybe some, like an otter's neighbor or something. Or bivalves may not love otters, but we do. And this show is called Otter Things. It's a series about a world of otters and other creatures that live somewhere in a forest, wetlands, a swamp forest type deal. Strongly influenced by many things, had strong influence on me recently and far into the past. So I hope you enjoy it. And here is our Hollywood presenter, Mr. Antonio Banderas. Scooter, coming to you live across. I'm so glad you could set up a camera for me. The ladies, the gentlemen, the boys, the girls, the friends beyond the binary. It's time for the first episode of Otter Things Splash. Yeah. Thanks, Antonio. So yeah, Antonio's coming in through a streaming thingamajig I set up. Now I do always ask you, like, you're the only person that's on mute, and it doesn't sound like you're on mute. Like if you ever have if you're ever video conferencing with Antonio, he says we've checked it, we've gone through. I said, are you sure? It shows you're on mute. You say you're on mute. You're the loudest muter I've ever heard. When you're on mute, I can still hear you. Probably because you're handsome and smile and you're in my heart. And he's on mute. That's why you can only hear his, I don't know, maybe it's just the sound carries from all the way from wherever Antonio is to here, because I miss him so much. But he's here right here with me. Oh boy. Do I feel handsome when I'm close to him? Like being in the warm sun. That's Mr. Antonio Banderas, and this is our series, Otter Things. Hey, how you doing? My name's Emma Otter, and I'm going to tell you a story about me and my friends and the place we live and the events we've been through. I'm in eighth grade. And this is my radio show about a story of some unbelievable events that me and my friends faced. I'm in my whole town, the place where we live. I'm recording it all for posterity. Hopefully it'll be on the radio. I don't know, though. But I'm in eighth grade. It's fall of 1991 when I'm recording this. I don't know when you're hearing this. Maybe I'm listening to it is a much wiser Emma Otter. But my friends and my family, my neighbors and teachers, everyone in my community, we live in a place, some might call it just a swamp, some might call it a forest, some would call it a refuge. Some even would call it the Duffer Refuge, but it but we call it home. It's a swamp and a forest or a wetlands area. And on all three sides, I guess I could describe to you what it is. It's got water, it's got trees, it's got dry land, it's got wetland, which is land under the water. And on all three sides, it kind of stretches out for what seems like forever. You know, but our town has its general borders, and there's places beyond and places we've heard of that we've never been, like River Bottom and in Henson Town, all these wonderful, wonderful places you could go. But mostly we just stay in our town. You know, people move away to those places. people move away to those places, but that's where we are. And on three sides, it just kind of goes on and on from swamp and wetlands and forest. I don't know. I haven't been too far. And then there's one other border on our town, which I'll talk about on the other side. Well, it's a road, and on the other side of the road is a place we never go. And I guess I'm telling you all this because I want you to know that I'm here telling you this story right now. So everything with Emma Otter, and all my friends, and even my town, while things are odd in my town, and, you know, you say, well, I look at things differently now than I did when this started, and not that long ago, in fall of 1991. Everything's okay, and me and my friends are fine, and we're back to living our lives. We're a little bit more mature, and we take life and savor it a little bit more here where we live in the Duffer Refuge. But I just want to tell you that because clearly I'm recording this, and clearly you're listening to it. So you'd probably want to know, well, what kind of story are you going to tell us, Emma? Well, it's a story about friendship. It's a story about adventure. It's a story about parents and authority figures just not understanding. It's a story with magic and with discovery. But it's also a story of like a lot of those things you think about as a kid. And I guess I should start at the beginning of the story. You know, there's the place, I'm Emma Otter. And I live with my parents and my baby brother and my older brother, Tefe. And I'm an otter, right? Like I said. And my next question might be, Emma, tell us, I heard you had some friends. Tell us about your friends or tell us about your family. I tell you about my friends first. And I don't like to say who my best friend is, you know, because some people won't want to hear that. So if you do, but I have to be honest with you that I do have a best friend and I have other very, 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 very close friends. So, you know, I want you to know that if you're listening, you could be a very, 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 very close friend of mine. Maybe you want to skip over this part or plug your ears. You know, why don't you plug your ears if you're one of my, you say, well, am I Emma's best friend? Just plug your ears if you're friends with me and you, because you are, of course you are. If you're listening to this and we're friends, you're my best friend. Now let's keep that, and you just, for the next 40 seconds, put your fingers in your ears and say, best friend, best friend, best friend, best friend. It feels really good. Okay, so I'll tell you, my best friend is, her name's Willow, and Willow's a beaver, and Willow lives with her sister Dari and her mom Frances, and, you know, Willow's really cool. And then I have two very, very close friends named LJ and V, Elijah and Vaughn. And Elijah's a porcupine, and Vaughn's a muskrat. And what we like to do, welcome back, best friend. My best friend and my other friends, my friends and I, so Willow, Vaughn, and LJ, we like to play a game called Big Bunnies and Bards. And you say, Big Bunnies and Bards, in my world, I don't have that game. Maybe you're listening, or maybe you're a big fan. You say, oh boy, I play Big Bunny and Bards every weekend for hours and hours at a time. But as I learn about this radio and making something, I know I should explain it to you. So bunnies and bards, big bunnies and bards, we call it BB&B, is a role-playing game where you take on the role of different bards. Now, it says a lot about where we live in our community, and the greater thing is that bards are a big deal where we live, or in the olden days, they were called bards. Now they're called musicians. You know, I come from a family of musicians, and my granduncle was a famous musician. My parents are musicians. And a lot of my friends and family, they work in music, you know, music-related businesses and jobs. And so music plays an important part of our lives from when we grow up. And I don't know if it's intentional that the game Big Bunnies and Bards is so popular, because actually, as far as I know, just me and my friends play it. With all the other kids at school kind of say, isn't that a baby game? I say, oh, no, no, it's a role-playing game, a musical role-playing game, actually. Or if they sigh in music class, they say, rehearsal's so dull. I said, well, you should try playing Big Bunnies and Bards, because you get to practice and play music. What if music could be a thing to cast a magical spell? Or your instrument, it could be a device where you could use it to defend your town against a big bunny. So that's the roles you play as bards. Different bards, you know, like other role-playing games maybe you've heard of. There's magic, and there's warriors, and there's princesses and princes and all different creatures, even creatures not from the swamp, from other woodland areas, particularly big bunnies. You might say, what's a big bunny? Now, I'm old enough to know that what a metaphor is, but a big bunny... And the big bunny is a big part of the game. And it is a giant, there's giant bunnies, and they have powers. They're very powerful in music and magic, and they're big. And some big bunnies are fuzzy and friendly, and, you know, like, it could be nice, and some bunnies are very voracious. And that's where it kind of comes into the metaphor place. Because in the lore of the game, all the big bunnies, even the ones that say, hey, we're good, we love otters, we love muskrats, we love porcupines, beavers, the big bunnies in those that game, they still have a tendency to hoard and eat a lot of food. And in our community, in the wetlands, in the swamp, and even in the forest areas, you know, winter's coming, particularly right now. And one thing our community relies on one another for, you know, we all make music and we exchange, you know, we have money that we exchange, you know, so like even in Big Bunnies and Bards, they have gold pieces, right? But that's a symbol from the days of bartering. But a community, a lot of communities, people rely on one another, and they rely on their own responsibility to themselves in the community in preparing for winter, in storing food, or planning their winter foodstuffs. And I don't want to get into the mayor and all that stuff about planning that stuff around. Not my job. But so that's a really important stuff for us, is to have, everybody has to have stuff to winter, because there's not stuff growing and things get a little bit quieter here in the refuge. Now, the big bunny comes in, because what if a big bunny actually did come to your community? And kids, we say, well, big bunnies aren't real, Emma. They'd say, really? Well, what if one came and ate all our food and ate all the town's food and all that? And we know adults think about it a lot, you know, but they say, well, big bunnies aren't real. You know, not having the proper humidity for storage, Emma, the big bunny's just a metaphor. And I say, well, really, is it or is it not? Because in this story, you'll learn that maybe metaphors can be more than metaphors. They could be real. But a big bunny's not exactly something to be so worried about, but to be concerned about. And in the game of Big Bunnies and Bards. And actually, let me just tell you, this was a Sunday, and me and my friends, Willow, V, and LJ, and I, we were playing a game of Big Bunnies and Bards, and I was the maestro, as they call it, leading the game and telling the story. And it was, again, once again, we had gone and we had discovered a stronghold full of these nuts that had been dried in the sun. But at the same time, and we're going to bring them back, you know, to a kingdom that had hired us to save the day. And I guess I always include myself. I always imagine I'm in the party, even when I'm playing as a maestro. They call it, I guess they call it like empathy. They call it a little bit. To be a good maestro, you have to empathize with your players. But so there they were, L.J. Vaughn and Willow. And, of course, right as they were about to seal up this stronghold full of nuts, a big bunny approached over the horizon. First, they could feel it. They could hear its chittering sound, or whatever you want to call it. It's a salivation and moving its mouth. They could hear its whiskers brushing across the treetops, and see its cute one ear, one of the two ears flopping even as it bounced towards the stronghold, with, you know, just one thing in mind, just securing the stronghold for itself and maybe hoarding our food. And my friends Vaughn and LJ and Will started to argue, hey, you make sure we'll use, you know, well, first we'll use ranged music and then we'll use the spell of unwinding. Well, what if we throw some of the nuts? Like, they were arguing back and forth. And, like, finally, Vaughn kind of said, well, what if we use Willow as bait? And we'll, you know, we'll put Willow there. And then it was, Willow said, I'm not bait. You know, I'm a magic user. I can use my songs to weave a web to protect it. And they said, well, it's too strong. This bunny's too big. This is the largest bunny we've ever faced. This is the big bunny. And it went back and forth and back and forth. And you're running through everything they had as the big bunny still approached. And then LJ said to Willow, like, I think you're just too scared to be bait even. Like, don't you want to do, like, this is a plan that's going to work. And then Willow, at first Willow had a frowny face and said, geez, well, that's, I don't want to be bait, or I don't want to be, like, I want to enjoy this fun game with my friends. But strong feelings are an important part about coming to a consensus in this game. And so Willow took a second to think about what had been said. And then Willow said, I'll show you some bait. I have an idea. And they said, what is it, Willow? And she said, double bait. And I said, what do you mean double bait? And Willow said, I'm going to cast a spell of imaging where I sing a song and I'm playing a song of protection. It's just an illusion in front of the stronghold as the big bunny approaches. Big bunnies are also very, very intelligent. If the big bunny is anything like most big bunnies we know, it's the big bunny. It'll know that, just like you were saying, that we're trying to draw the big bunny in. And Willow said, at the same time, I'll open up a satchel of nuts and I'll use my song of carrying to be able to carry 1,000 times my body weight, and I'll carry 1,000 times my body weight in nuts away from the stronghold, because there's, you know, tens and tens of thousands of nuts here. And I'll lead the big bunny away, and you go to the ride to the town and get the people from the town to come and take the nuts from the stronghold back to the town. For the town was in a region that the big bunny could not reach, so due to other powerful magics, you see, but just part of the story, you know. And I said, okay, well, we have to roll the dice to see if any of these spells actually work, Willow, and the big bunny. And it was just as Willow got ready to roll. First, we had to roll for initiative to see. The big bunny was still out of range. You know, we had to roll a few dice to resolve some things. My mom called downstairs, Emma, you still playing that game down there? Do you know what time it is? It's bedtime and dinner time. You missed dinner. And your friends need to go home. I said, Mom, we're just about, she said, N-O-W spells now, Willow. And so I tried to talk her out of it, but the game was over. And actually, Willow had thrown the 20-sided dice on the floor. My friends, you know, they got ready to leave. And, of course, on the way out, Vaughn, of course, had to stop and say hi to my brother, who Vaughn thinks is the coolest. Tefe, my brother, always looking like the smoothest otter in town. Not a lot going on behind between my brother's ears. But my brother is a very, very attractive otter and witty. Anyway, Vaughn said, geez, well, hey, what's up, Tefe? And I said, hit the road, Vaughn. I'm looking at my hair in the mirror. And my friends got ready to go. And they had their water bikes, and everybody got on their water bikes, and we said goodnight. And they headed off. They said, oh, we're going to race all the way home. And then before they left, Willow said, I don't think that role would have worked. And I said, well, that was a good move. That would have been a good move to double bait. Who would have thought that idea? And I don't care what they say. That's a brave move to lead the big bunny away. And Willis said, thanks, Emma. And they hopped on their bikes and they headed off, headed home. Now, like I said, my friends headed out, and you know, maybe you say, well, you kids, you sound like you spent a lot of time imagining and role-playing. Isn't where you live, the wetlands and the refuge, a bit boring? And I'd say it is most of the time. Like I said, the most interesting thing about the refuge, as far as adventure goes, is a place we're never allowed to go, which is a road. They call it, and it has strange noises that come through it and strange beings. We're not even supposed to go and look at it, even though we can hear it sometimes. The road rises up and runs across the border. But right in the middle of the road, there's also what they call a tunnel that leads under the road or somewhere else we don't even know. We're never allowed to go there. There's other things, there's structures on the other side of the road that we could see. And of course we'd never go to the tunnel. But we sit there and we'll sit on a log and look at it and see these strange beings that just go back and forth, make up stories about them, we'll play music. And we'll dare each other, of course, to go in the tunnel. Every kid does that, that lives here at Duffer Refuge. There's even like these gates that go up and down sometimes, and water flows in and water flows out. It's very mysterious, and we're just told never to think about it and never look at it. And we're asked, "Did you look at it, dude? Where have you been? Have you been out near the road? Anywhere near the road? Remember, never go." Like everything we're taught is never to go there. Now, Willow's the least expensive place to live because Willow's just Willow's mom's sister and her is not that far from the road, where you can even hear the road sometimes when the whatever it is makes the noise on the road. Just barely from Willow's room. That's one of the windows we'd sneak out. But anyway, that night they were riding their water bikes home, my friends, and they split up finally, and Vaughn and LJ headed back to their houses, and Willow started to head back to her house. And maybe it was that we played the game for so long, or maybe it wasn't, but Willow thought she heard the sound of a big bunny, and even ran her water bike right off into kind of a piece of patch of dry land, not that far from her house. And she left her bike, and then she was convinced she could hear the sounds of the click, 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 hey, I'm fuzzy, 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 of a big bunny. And Will got in her mind and ran, oh boy, which a big bunny, I got to get home, got to get home, got to get home. And as Willow ran home, Willow was positive. She saw carrot droppings and said, oh, no, I got to get home. And then she ran through her house and Her mom and her sister hadn't gotten home from work yet, so she ran out to their storage shed where they store their winter foodstuffs and tried to double lock it and just see if the big bunny or big little bunnies even had to. She said, what if it's even little bunnies in there looking around? Will ran in there and still was convinced Willow could hear this big bunny bounce, bounce, bouncing, just like Easter morning for some of you. You say, oh, the cute little bunny's coming. But Willow's saying, to eat my food, family's food. Now, like I said, everything's okay as I'm telling you this story, so I don't want you to worry. And one of the reasons things are okay in our town, in one of the ways, you know, not everybody voluntarily shares resources or shares things or, you know, abides by everything. So we have a community resource officer whose name is Leon, but he goes by Bull. He's a big bullfrog. And he's a bit grouchy, you know, but we didn't really know Bull that well. You'd see him around town lumbering and had this big bullfrog voice. But it was known that Bull was one of the few bullfrogs that didn't like to sing, never played any music, and never came to any of the concerts or events we always had in the town. And he lived out on another edge of the swamp, far, not near the road, but far out on his own. And he was, yeah, the bullfrog that didn't like music. But Bull was a good and fair of community resources and cared really deeply about our community and the job. Though he wasn't perfect in his gruff exterior, his coworkers loved him. And when he would show up, this one particular Monday in our story, he showed up to work and they said, well, you're right on time. Not quite ready to start the day. You know, it's Monday. It's all still Monday, all the rest of the day. And he said, I need some time to breathe through my skin. I'm going to go in my office and call it. And they said, Francis the Beaver said that Willow's not around and she can't find Willow. And he said, okay, well, I'll deal with it a bit. And then Bull walked into Bull's office and there was Frances the Beaver, Willow's mom. And she had woken up and started to get ready for work. And so did Dari, Willow's sister, who's like the best student, not the most popular kid at our high school. We go to middle school still, but she's a real good student, a bit stern though. But I guess they had woken up and they said, well, where's Willow? Isn't it time for school? But Willow wasn't there. And they said, well, I wonder where Willow is. And they called my house and says, Willow there? No. But at this point, Francis said, geez, isn't it weird that Willow's not around? And Bull said, well, see, you know, come on, Francis. Willow's in eighth grade and, you know, some beavers, they decide, they get to, especially, you know, Willow's father was a traveling musician. Maybe she's got a bit of the musician wanderlust and she headed out on her own. And Francis said, but Willow's just in eighth grade. And that's when, that's when some beavers get the wanderlust, especially musical beavers. And Francis said, she's not like other beavers. She's not like we were when, you know, hanging out at the tunnel or whatever. And Francis's mom, Willow's mom, Francis, I mean, had kind of developed an idea. You know, sometimes it's a friend's fault. And she said, I think they were playing that game, BB&B. And those other kids, Francis is, a little bit less confident and assertive than the other kids. I bet you they double dared Francis to go near the road. I'm positive of it. And they said, well, I don't know. I'll deal with it. But I'm pretty sure it's just, I mean, you're going to have to accept the fact that that Willow's growing up. And they went back and forth, and Francis left thinking, geez, maybe it just doesn't understand. Now, meanwhile, we had gotten to school, and we noticed that Willow's water bike wasn't there. But we figured that Willow walked or got a ride to school from her sister. And we headed into school, and we had to deal with these pesky kids that thought, again, I think that B&B is a kid's game, and they're always giving us a hard time. B-U-L-L-I-E-S is... couple of weasels just on our case. You know, they have the River Bottom band jackets and everything like that. Act like they're all cool. But we had, it was okay because we happened to have our favorite class that day, Science of Sound. It was our favorite teacher, Russell the Moose, and the Science of Sound was just about the science using sound, which we all, because we loved music, but we also loved the sounds of the whole area. And after class, our teacher told us, great news, I've got in this new, like we've been working on this giant sound collector on the roof of our school above the trees where you could catch all sorts of sounds and collect them. It'd just be a giant funnel almost and funnel the sound so you could listen to them more clearly. And you could also, like, talk into it, and maybe we would always imagine that someone out there could hear us. Another thing is, you know, is that, of course, like, my brother is too much. So as soon as he got to high school, he's actually he's always like, I'm the hottest otter in town, and that I have the best otter hair. And so he was always trying to convince Willow's older sister, Dari, to go out with him. And he was spending the whole day, and she was saying, well, I have to study. Also, I'm trying to figure out my sister, maybe she's grown up, or maybe your brother put her up to a double dare. That's what my mom says. My brother, of course, Tefe, was like, well, let's hang out and talk about it later. But secretly, I think Dari thought that my brother was dreamy, just like everybody else does. They don't have to live with him. And I said, what is in your hair? Is that some sort of algae? Like it's like, that's what gives it the glow. So anyway, so we went with our teacher, teacher Russell, to go and start to look at like this next phase of the sound collector we're working on. And of how we could start to even more clearly funnel it so we could listen in and hear stuff. All these strange and amazing sounds, birds and water, the road and other things. And like say, wow, we could even hear people playing music in River Bottom. Not that the music there is very good. But right as we started setting it up, Leon showed up and said, I need to talk to you boys. We had to go back to this place where he worked, the station. And he said, I want you to fess up and tell me the truth. Where's Willow? What did you put her up to? And we said, what are you talking? And of course, Vaughn and LJ tried to blame each other. Said, well, said we're a coward. And he said, she's bait. And it was talking. And then finally they said, please be quiet, in a deep, bullfroggy, creaky, dulcet tone. And everybody got quiet. And then Vaughn and LJ started arguing again. It was no, like, you. And he said, did you double dare Willow to go near the road or the tunnel under the road? Or tell me now, beyond the road. He said, no, we would never do that. We know the rules, and Willow would never do that anyway. We would never put Willow up to that. He said, are you sure? Like this, I was a kid that wasn't honest. When the teacher would say, okay, it's time to be honest, no consequences, I would keep my mouth shut. Because of that, I know you should know that I'll get to the bottom of this one way or the other. So if you did double dare, triple dare, you know, don't use a technicality and say, well, it's a quadruple dare. If you tried to get Willow to take something like that, just to prove bravery or whatever, let me know. We said, no, really, we didn't do any of that. And he looked us all over and said, okay, okay. And then we said, well, where would Willow be then? He said, well, you know, maybe, you know, wanted, does Willow, would Willow have wanted to go out on the road and start her career early? Maybe busk somewhere in a bigger town or something? We said, no, 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 that's not Willow's style. Willow isn't ready to head out on her own. Goose chase. Then he said, okay, okay, don't worry about it. He said, well, what do you mean? We said, what do you mean goose chase? Like, if it's a goose chase, we want to help. No, 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 no. You boys go home. That's it, period, of end of story. No kids helping out. And just to kind of tell you what a goose chase is. So another thing, you know, other than is at some point, and I don't know what it is with rivalries and stuff, but there's a group of geese. They came from another magical place called Canada. And for some reason, they have this idea of like stirring up trouble. And it's one of the things the adults really are concerned about. And what the geese like to do is so what they thought is that the geese led Willow on a goose chase, which is like, you know, to just make fun of the kid, but also maybe make them head out on their own earlier than they're ready to. So sometimes they do that by saying, hey, I think you could have a career, like, you know, and then they say, well, we're like, you know, we'll help you get started. Let's head to River Bottom. Or they say, hey, I wonder what would happen if you moved to, you know, why don't you move to the next town? And it was something that adults, because these geese really didn't have, like, they were up to something. Or they would just, like, do it for fun and then watch it and say, wow, look at that beaver swimming around. Like, hey, we set up this adventure course for you. And at the end is, you know, a year's supply of nuts or whatever, or, you know, whatever your family consumes. But there never was. And then usually the kids were gone for like a week or two searching, and then they would come home, they'd be tired. And drove Leon nuts. So he wanted to just put a stop to it. And so that's what he thought was happening, was that the geese came in again. They hadn't done this in a long time. And he had, you know, personally dealt with it with his own, in his own life's journey. And so he kind of was always had a, like, a resentment against these geese. And he was sure they were up to it again. And somewhere out there, they were leading Willow on a goose chase. And he was determined to put a stop to it. And headed over to Willow's house and, of course, like, went out and started looking around and noticed out by their storage room. Said, well, it looks like Willow was out here, Francis, in the bank. And Francis, of course, was very concerned. I don't think those kids, you know, sent your daughter on a goose chase. I think it's a double dare. I think it might be a goose chase. And then, of course, Francis was like, well, I don't want my kid on a goose chase. So, you know, what if she stubs her, you know, tail? Or what if the beavers or the geese get it in their mind to have her start her own career before she's ready or whatever? Jesus, weird. I found a combination of goose feathers and bunny fur out in a shed covered in some sort of goop. And if you ever caught any geese or bunnies in your storage shed, and said, no, it might be old, you know. You know, my ex, he used to keep, like, I don't know what he was doing in that storage shed when we weren't storing stuff for the winter. And then she said, okay, I'm going to get together a group, and we're going to go on a geese looking thing. We're going to put a stop to this geese chase, and I'm sure that's what's happening. It's going to be totally fine, so don't worry at all. Now, while all this was happening, out beyond the road, there were buildings, and there were things going on there, odder things, odder than an otter, I'd say. And we know we never knew what it was, but we would know there'd be strange noises or puffing, smoke, or whirring, in addition to the sounds on the road. And this particular night, as it started to come, there was a lot going on out there, a lot of noise. If we were out there, if we had listened in the sound collector, we would have heard more and more activity than it had been. We would have also heard the creak of the gate on the tunnel. And then we would have heard a gentle swimming as something swam through that. A little tiny, about the same size as an otter, swimming through, gently paddling and looking around. Something that was a little bit lost, I'd say. And eventually that lost thing paddled towards town, hungry for a snack. Now, it wasn't a big bunny, I could tell you that. And it happened to go to Sullivan's Pancake House, and old Sullivan was there. Nicest person in town, runs the pancake house, also a diner. And this little thing snuck in the back door of Sullivan's Pancake House, and Sullivan was slinging those pancakes and telling jokes and greeting everyone and being kind. And this little thing plotted on all fours and then got up on two legs and started eating pancakes right off the assembly line before their toppings had been properly added. And Sullivan found out and said, "Hey, what in the hey are you doing?" And eventually, like, because of the big size of Sullivan's heart, said, "Well, I've never seen anything that looks like you before. You look like you're pretty hungry. Why don't you sit down? And we'll eat together." And at first it was tentative, and Sullivan says, "Okay, like, I'll close the pancake house down. It's, you know, past pancake time. It's not pancake o'clock after 8. And Sullivan sat down with this thing. Now, this thing, I guess he said, "Well, geez, what's your name? And you spend a lot of time on all fours. You're not like us walking on two legs." The thing didn't say anything back. It just said, "You're a hungry one for sure. You got a name? I'm Sully. You could call me Sullivan, or you could call us in," and and it looked like the thing looked back and smiled and said, "Well, you look like a beaver, but you got a bill, and is it all right if I call you Billy, B-I-L-L-I-E, you know, because I don't know, you know, I just know, I'm not, how does that feel for you?" And Billy said, "Billy," and nodded its bill and its beaver-like head. And Sullivan said, "Well," she said, "go ahead and keep eating, Billy. Never seen anything with webbed feet either. I'll be right back." And Sullivan went out back and went inside and tried to call. They just keeps an eye out. Said, "Geez, I guess somebody lost here, and I don't think they lost their way home, and they don't really talk much. Never seen anything like it. It's got a duck's bill and a beaver body and webbed feet." And they said, "Okay, we'll send somebody by." Now, the one thing you might not know is that the person on the other end of the phone wasn't in our town. They were on the other side of the road. Somewhere deep in a building on the other side of the road was also a fox named Dr. Max Modine, wearing a lab coat and a leader of whatever was going on back there. Very mysterious, very odd. They said, "Dr. Max, we got them. We know where they are." And Dr. Max said, "Let's go." And they headed out in these whispered, quiet boats towards Sullivan's Pancake House. And at first, it was just a regular, innocuous person Well, another forest friend went up to the door and knocked, and Sullivan said, "Oh, hey, we're closed. No, you know, it's past pancake o'clock." And they said, "Oh, no, winkety, winkety, wink." And Sullivan said, "Oh, okay, they're in back, oh, and I forgot to tell you, though. Well, I'll just explain it now." But meanwhile, Billy was, sensed something was different, and then looked and recognized the person at the door. Billy made a move towards the back door of Sullivan's Pancake House. And then in the back came more of Dr. Max Modine's crew from the silent boats. And Billy had some sort of powers. I don't know. It's odd, and I don't know how to explain it to you right now. That was able to have everybody go into slow motion with a kind of opening of their bill, Billy's bill. And Billy rushed past them into the night, and it was just started raining. Dr. Max, they said, Dr. Max, Billy got away. And Dr. Max said, "Okay, we'll track her down." And Billy headed out into the night. Now, meanwhile, I was laying in my room, and I had just had it out with my parents, because they said, "Well, what about Willow? We didn't." They grounded me for daring Willow. I said, "We didn't dare Willow. And Willow's not on a goose chase, or even if Willow is, what about if it's a big bunny?" And they said, "There's no big bunnies, Emma. It's just a metaphor. And we know you probably, one of you double dared, or if it wasn't you, it's one of your friends." And I said, "We just want to help look for Willow. What if we didn't dare?" Because we didn't. And they said, "Go to your room." And I was lying in my room, and I was thinking about the game. And then they said, "Well, Willow," and I called up. I used to, we was these tin can phones all the way across through the trees to my friends' places. And I called LJ, and I called Vaughn, and I said, "Hey, what Willow double bait? What if Willow really did? What if there really is a big bunny, and Willow's out there doing double bait on the bunny?" And they said, "Okay, let's go look." And it was raining, and we got on our, snuck out of our houses, and we got on our bikes. Of course, when I was sneaking out, I noticed my brother trying to get, said, "Oh, Dario, don't worry about it. Let's just do some flashcards and brush my fur. You know, we'll worry about your sister later." But we headed out on our bikes, and then we headed into this kind of like the clumpy part of the swamp, not that far from the edge of the swamp, from the road. And we're, once again, you know, we were all arguing and saying this was a terrible idea. Of course, it was raining, and it was a little bit chilly, and we're going back and forth. And then V said, "I hear a bunny. I think I hear a bunny." And I said, "I think," and then we were kind of like, we're thinking we were in presence of a big bunny. Then there was a flash in the sky, and we saw a log cross some water, what looked like a beaver. And we said, Willow, is that you?" But it was raining really hard. So we said, "Let's get closer." And they said, "Well, what if it's a double bait big bunny?" And we said, "Don't worry about it. Well, just let's go. We got to get, Willow might be just, you know, we got to help our friend." And we headed towards it, and then we got close to the log, and then the thunder, the lightning flashed again, and we saw that it wasn't a beaver. It was a kid just like us, but it had a duck's bill and a beaver body and webbed feet. And we kind of stood there, and it was soaking wet, and it kind of looked a little bit frowny, so we immediately felt for it, and it said, I talk words, Billy talk words." And we were amazed. And I think that's probably, I got to go because my mom's about to start calling me and saying it's bedtime, Willow. So I got to run, but it's because it's bedtime. So I'm going to get in my bed and curl up and get comfortable and cozy and go to sleep. Good night. All right, I want to do, want to thank everybody who made a review on Apple Podcasts recently. A-Town, Downtown, Beautiful Distraction, Must Try for Anyone's Racing Color Thoughts, Keep Them From Getting to Sleep. I seldom make it through 10 to 15 minutes, usually skip to the story, they have to fast forward if they want to listen to the story because they fall asleep so fast. Iodor 20 said, can you mind making more episodes on Fridays? I'm trying to make, I'm not in a position to make more. Just keeping it out twice a week is as far as I can get with the free show. I may down the road put out more on Patreon, but keep an eye on there. Let's see. A. Mendel says, love the podcast, helps me relax. Great. Right vibe. Distract me from my thoughts. Really glad I found it. Had a hard time getting to sleep before this. FHB says, comfort and love. Place of comfort and love in my life. For the past years have been a lot of chaos, a lot of travel, and this podcast is a pivotal part of my evening. Thank you. Gnarly Norton, listen to this podcast every night, and it gets me out of my thoughts. Thank you. Accept the Truth says, disappointed. Daughter picked this out, but it's explicit. But I'll give you one star because of the cover. We're working on the explicit thing, but I wouldn't recommend ever letting your kids listen to something without listening to it first ahead of time. So that's just my opinion. Cloud Saunders says, thumbs up. Podcast is my holy grail. B. Curtis in 91 says, we're going through a real tough time, lots of anxiety, and the podcast has made a huge difference. Thanks, B. Curtis. Left Coast Librarian from Canada, great podcast, love it so much. It takes a day or four to get used to, but when you do, it helps so much. That's a pretty good way of saying it. Voice is relaxing, help you feel good about sleeping. And F.A. Saint from the Netherlands says, helps me with not overthinking at night. Oftentimes I tend to overthink. Podcast, a perfect distraction. Greetings from the Netherlands. Thank you. Ducky Ducky Worse says, no clue what it's about. Isabella from Mexico says, part of my bedtime routine. Cassie, your life changer. Thanks, Cassie. Yao from Santa Cruz, appreciate the effort. Joe Day says, only podcast I listen to. Every couple months I pretend I don't need the podcast. I stop listening and I come back. Lanaville from the UK, thank you, Scooter. Charlotte B said, wow, I used to fall asleep to NPR. Now I fall asleep to the podcast. Banzero, the Meanderthal, that's pretty funny too. Spunky Popcorn says the best, and John C. says a lifesaver. And let me just check if there's anything new on Podchaser, because we're doing that fundraising thing now. Thanks. So thanks everybody for reviewing the show. Sleeping Bee is able to be a free podcast because the people that support the show directly on Patreon and support our sponsors, and we grow as podcasts by people just spreading the word, writing reviews, retweeting our tweets, and telling people about the podcast when it comes up. So thank you so much for that. And speaking of spreading the word, here's a podcast I want you to know about. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff, what was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts,
in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, yeah, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon.
most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.